10. I want to read verse 27. Isaiah 10, verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. By way of background to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah, of course, is the author. He was a contemporary of Hosea and Micah. He ministered in the last years of the northern kingdom known as Israel, but he ministered to the southern kingdom known as Judah. And he did so, and he began his ministry in the latter part of Uzziah's reign, and then continued his ministry through the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. We learn that from chapter 1 in verse 1. During the time of Isaiah's ministry, Assyria was the greatest economic and military power in the world, expanding its empire, conquering nation upon nation, and would, of course, during the ministry of Isaiah, would eventually conquer the northern kingdom, Israel. In the eyes of the world, Assyria was an uncontrollable power. So it was a very critical time. It was very uncertain, very unsettled, a very dangerous time in the northern kingdom, but it was also that in the southern kingdom where Isaiah ministered. And the reason is because the southern kingdom was in a rapid state of spiritual decline, following the very same sins that brought the northern kingdom into Assyrian captivity. It looked as though that the southern kingdom also would collapse to Assyria. It was a time of, if you lived in the southern kingdom at that time, it would have been a time of great stress. It would have been a time of great anxiety and apprehension. And it was during that time that there were those, of course, who were encouraging the people to seek alliance with Egypt. But Isaiah steadfastly called upon the people to repent and trust the Lord. Beginning with chapter 7, verse 17 through verse 34 of chapter 10, Isaiah speaks of the fall of the northern kingdom to Assyria. He does so as a way of warning to the southern kingdom to which he ministered. He speaks very plainly as a word of warning of the sins that led to the fall of the northern kingdom. Reading through Isaiah, it's important to realize that one of the characteristics of Isaiah's ministry was that he often alternated the message of judgment with a message of blessing, and that was always in relation to the coming Messiah, the coming of Jesus Christ. And that is what we have here in our text verse. You notice this isn't the message, but the last part of verse 27, because of the anointing. There's been much debate what that is, and I believe it's just Christ. It is Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ. The things that are mentioned in verse 27 would happen because of the Messiah, because of the anointed one. But again, that's not the message. But notice, and it shall come to pass in that day. So what we have in our text is that though Assyria would lay a heavy yoke upon God's people, the northern kingdom, there was coming a day, and it shall come to pass in that day that the yoke would be broken. It says his burden, that is, his load, his encumbrance, shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke, that is, harness, from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed. The reason? Because of the anointing. Because of the Messiah. And though this is a prophecy concerning God's people, Israel, we want to make application to our day. We want to speak on the subject of the yoke-destroying power of God. The yoke-destroying power of God. All through the Bible, we have pictures of enslavement. Notice the words in our text, burden, which speaks of an encumbrance, a weight. Notice also the word yoke, speaking of a wooden cross piece that would be fastened over the necks of two animals, serving as a harness or a collar. All you have to do is gently tug on the right, the animal turns to the right. Gently tug on the left, the animal turns to the left. These two words, burden and yoke, present a picture of oppression, domination, enslavement, bondage, giving us the idea of bonds or chains and shackles and imprisonment. And all through the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, we are reminded of the reality and the cruelty of enslavement. We see it all through the Word of God. We see Israel in Egyptian bondage. Notice in the book of Exodus, chapter 1. The book of Exodus, chapter 1. We'll read verse 11, and then we'll read verse 13 and 14. Verse 11, therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict, to distress them with their burdens. Verse 13 and 14. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. The word rigor there conveys the idea of severity, harshness, inflexibility. Verse 14. And they made their lives bitter. That is, painful, unpleasant, agonizing. How did they do that? With hard, strenuous, fatiguing, exhausting, demanding bondage. Slavery. Notice Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. It came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed. They groaned by reason of the bondage, and they cried. Reviewing their bondage, reviewing their slavery, in Numbers 20 and verse 15, we see the Egyptians vexed or annoyed us and our fathers. We live in a day of annoyance. More people are annoyed today than we've ever seen. It's a sign of slavery. We see in the book of Judges, which covers a period of about 300 years, we have a repeated cycle throughout the book. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. That is, they continually did that which was contrary to the Lord. We read that every man did that which was right in their own eyes, which simply means they did not acknowledge God in their lives. They did not listen to what God would say. They did not cease from their own ways. They lived self-governed lives. The cycle continues, we read, then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And the result of this is, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers, those who would ruin them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about so that they could not any longer. That is, their strength was zapped so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. As a result of this cycle, they lived defeated, enslaved, and powerless lives. We read of Samson in the book of Judges, chapter 16. And there in Judges 16, we see a very sad picture. There is Samson. He's blind. His eyes have been put out. He's bound with chains of brass. And what's he doing? Going in circles. A picture of slavery. A picture of cruel bondage. We see Israel, because of their sins, taken into Assyrian captivity. And Judah, because of their sins, taken into Babylonian captivity. This is a picture of confinement. This is a picture of restraint. We come to the New Testament, and Israel is living under Roman rule. And all through the New Testament, we see individuals under the oppression of demons, which is a picture of bondage. We see individuals who live their lives in the confinement of various paralysis, disease, blindness, and even death. All of these are pictures of the unsaved sinner, the enslavement of the unsaved sinner. They're also pictures of the slavery that the saved can be taken with. You know, we, of course, we're not going to commend our past history of slavery. But I do want to say this. There are slaveries today far worse than pre-Civil War slavery. Slavery's far more cruel, far more debilitating than back then. The most horrendous of all imprisonments is, of course, the enslavement of the unsaved sinner. We read in Proverbs 5 and verse 22, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. And those are cords that no man can break. They're cords that wrap themselves around the mind, around the will, around the affections of the unsaved sinner. The unsaved sinner is imprisoned. He or she is shackled. They are in the grasp and binding power of spiritual death. They are in the grasp and the binding power of Satan. And they are in grasp in the binding power of their own sin. You see, the unsaved sinner is held in the mire, held down in the depths of darkness and ignorance and enmity and error and bankruptcy and guilt and condemnation. They live their lives under the power and under the control of the defilement, of the vileness and of the unholiness and the profanity and the sickness of sin. They're in bondage. They're slaves. The chains and shackles of this enslavement are beyond description. They are beyond human words. There is no slavery more dismal than the slavery of a lost sinner. There is no slavery more disabling or debilitating or degrading or shameful than the slavery of a lost sinner. Then there's the saved. For the saved, we've been set free from the bondage that we were once in. But there is a danger. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. That can't happen. But there is a very real danger of the child of God, the very sons and daughters of God, being taken captive. The danger of being detained. We, the saved, can become Israel and Egypt. We can become Israel in the time of the judges. We can become Samson, grinding at the mill. We can become Israel in Assyrian captivity. We can become Judah in Babylonian captivity. Because the danger is real, Paul warned God's people. In Romans 6 and verse 12, he said, "Let not sin reign," that is, rule. "Let it not be given a place of jurisdiction. Let it not be given a place of sway. Let not sin rule in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof." He said in Romans 6 and verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion," that's dominance or command, "over you." Remember the yoke. Just a little pull, there you go. Another little pull, there you go. Let not sin have dominion. Let it not control your lives. He warned in Galatians 5 and verse 1. Again, speaking to God's people. He said, "Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Be not entangled again. Do not become tangled up again. Do not become trapped and enmeshed again. 1 Peter, 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. Paul wrote to Timothy concerning those that oppose themselves. What that means is they are against themselves. They do those very things that ruin themselves. And in verse 26, he said that these individuals were in the snare of the devil. That is, they were in the net or the noose of the devil, taken captive, prisoner by him, Satan, at his will. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 2 and verse 19, For whom a man is overcome of, the same is he brought into bondage or slavery. God's people, the saved, the very sons and daughters of God, are to live above the crippling downward spiral of the world. We are to live as more than conquerors. We have been made more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And we are to live as more than conquerors. Paul gave some instruction to God's people regarding living life, and then confirmed in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 35 that the reason for such instruction, that you may attend. He said, the reason I give you this instruction, the reason I tell you these things, is that you may give attention and concentrate unto the Lord without distraction, without being pulled away, without being preoccupied by and with other matters. It's very clear that God's people, the saved, are not to become boggled down, are not to become so boggled down in the world that they cannot serve God as they ought. Just like the children of Israel in the book of Judges, who could no longer stand before their enemies. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Realize that the affairs of this life, they can be that which is not sinful, they can be that which is sinful. We're not to be entangled in the affairs of this life. Even the legitimate affairs of this life, we are not to become entangled. And this is one of the very greatest tricks of Satan. God's people say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's wrong if you're entangled in it. It's wrong. It's wrong if you become a slave to it. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You see, God's people, the saved by grace, are to live above the world's entanglements. This is the liberty that we've been called to. God's people, the saved, are not to live in this world as if they were living in a prison camp, walking around with a ball and chain. But if you listen, even in the house of God, you can hear the clanking of the chains that are wrapped around God's people. If you watch, you can see them walk in with the ball and the chains. We're not to live in this world as if we're in a prison camp. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. But sadly, many of God's people, the sons and the daughters of God, are living their lives in the prison camps of this world. That's where they live. And even sadder yet, they've lived there so long that it has become a way of life for the children, for the sons and daughters of God. It has become a way of life, the prison camp. How sad. There are many prison camps. We preached a series of messages and don't get stuck there in all of those service prisons. There are many places. They can be legitimate. There are many prison camps. There are the prison camps of temporal thinking. My friend, that's a prison. If you cannot get beyond human reason, you are in a prison. And it's a terrible prison to be in. There are the prison camp of wrong pursuits. Well, I'm free enough to pursue. But you see, your pursuits imprison you. There are many on a wild goose chase. The only problem is there's no goose. But they're on the chase. There's the prison of hurt. There's the prison of sorrow. There's the prison of disappointment. Oh, I'm so disappointed. I'll never get over it. That's a prison. Big difference between being disappointed and living there. Spending your life there. There's the prison camp of fear. There's the prison camp of envy. There's the prison camp of anger. There's the prison camp of wrong assumptions. You made a wrong assumption and you based your life upon that assumption. That's a prison. There's the prison camps of bitterness and unforgiveness. The prison camp of pride. And on we could go. But there they are, God's people, the sons and daughters of God. And they're enmeshed in these things. There are those who wear the yoke of self. Just a slight tug and off they go. The yoke of approval. The yoke of acceptance. That's a prison. The yoke of family. Oh, now, wait a minute, Brother Dan. Family's important to me. It ought to be. But it shouldn't become a prison camp. You shouldn't be controlled by it. Should not allow family to just pull on your chain and off you go. That's a yoke. That's a yoke. Again, prison camps, there may not be anything wrong with the thing itself. But when it imprisons us and takes us out of the service of God, it's wrong. There's the yoke of money. The yoke of having more. There's the individual. They're trying to serve God. And then there's that little tug on the yoke of money. And off they go. They've been distracted. That's slavery. There's the yoke of business. Business calls. Just a little tug. There they go. They'll be faithful to God until there's that little tug and off they go. That's enslavement. That's living in a prison camp. The yoke of pleasures. There are the very sons and daughters of God living under the power and control of the defilement and the vileness and the unholiness and the profanity and the sickness of sin. There they are living under the yoke of the cares of this life. There they are living under the yoke of circumstances. Circumstance controls their life, controls their emotions, controls the way they think, controls their moods. Guess what? You're a slave. If your mood is controlled by circumstances, you are a slave. If the way you think is controlled by circumstances, you are a slave. There are some terrible enslavements in this world. The truth is, we're not to allow anything to impede, to obstruct, or to hamper our relationship with God. And there are God's people, the saved, the very sons and daughters of God, living in the prison camps of the world. There they are under the tyranny, the oppression, and the bondage. And there they are in the chains, and they're in the shackles of an enemy power. And that's how they live their lives. How sad. How sad. Because you've been delivered from your unsaved condition. But I'm here to tell you today that a child of God can live as if they were unsaved. It's enslavement. They've been swallowed, they've been consumed by the ways of the world. It's scary to listen to people talk, God's people. It's scary. They are defined by the ways of the world. That's slavery. They are trapped in a horrible pit. Living under the jurisdiction of an enemy power. Trapped in the net of Satan. With a noose around their neck. Is that how a child of God is to live? Is that the life that God has called you and I to live? But there they are. In the net of enslavement, living lives of defeat, living lives of weariness, living lives of frustration, living lives of discouragement and confusion, slaves. There they are, living in a prison camp, sometimes of their own making, most of the time of their own making. I would say it's insanity to build a prison for yourself. I mean, what must you be thinking as you put up those bars? This is for me. Have you lost your mind? But that's what we do. We build prisons for ourselves. And God's people become defeated. They become powerless. Do you realize today that there are those of God's people, because they live in a prison camp, they can't pray? You tell them, you need to pray about that. They'll look at you like, have you lost your mind? You see, they can't pray. They're enslaved. They can't even pray. They can't worship. They can't worship. They can go through the motions. They can dream about it. But they can't do it. They can't praise. Again, they can go through the motions, but they're in this prison. It's left them powerless. They cannot fellowship with God. They become alienated from Him. In our lost days, we were alienated from God. We were without God. And sad to say, there are many of God's people in such a prison camp, they too are alienated from God. They cannot see God. They're surrounded by the walls of a prison. They can't hear God. And they're incapable of making a spiritually right decision. They don't have the ability. It's like telling a 2-year-old, you need to make the right decision. There are God's people who are incapable. It's not going to happen. They're going to make one bad decision. Again, you get into the cycle of the book of Judges. What a sad slavery. And there they are, dragging a ball and chain around, living in bondage, living spiritually unfulfilling and empty lives. Is that how God would want us to live? Is that what God has called us to? Living lives with no lasting satisfaction. Well, if I buy this, I'll be happy. Not for long. If I do this, I'll be happy. If I go here, if I go there, I'll be happy. But there's no lasting satisfaction because you're in prison. You're dragging a ball and chain around. Wandering in endless circles, restless, unsettled, joyless, spiritually numb, and exasperated. This is what the prison camp will do. If you and I aren't careful, you try to please these folks, that'll be a prison too. You can't please them. You try to make their life better, you can't do it, my friend. They're in chains that you cannot break. This is life in the prison camps of the world. As a son and daughter of God, we don't have to live in the prison camps of the world. There is deliverance from enslavement. Notice in our text, Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day. And I pray that the that day that we read here will be today. That in that day, his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. The yoke shall be destroyed. If you're here and unsaved, I want you to know today that there is release. There is liberation. There is an unloosing from the chains and shackles of sin and Satan and death. And I pray that that day of our text, if you're here and lost, would be today. That God would come into your prison cell and break the chains that hold you. That he would bring you out of the mire of enslavement. You know, a lot of churches, they will say, come as you are. Thing is, they leave as they are too. That's what's really bad. And many come into the house of God dragging a ball and chain. It doesn't worry Satan, because he knows that you're going to leave with that same ball and chain. All he's done is deceived you, convincing you that you're really not enslaved when you are. If you are a son and daughter of God and you are living under the yoke and burden of an enemy power, living in one of the prison camps of the world, we pray that that day of our text would be today. That you would experience the bondage-breaking power of the Lord. That you would go from here free, Free from the ball and chain that you've been dragging around. Free. Because of the anointing. Because there is a liberator. His name is Jesus. The truth is, we need to exchange one yoke for another. Notice Matthew chapter 11, and we'll close with this. Matthew 11. You know where we're going, verse 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor, are heavy laden. That describes many. You labor in the prison camps of the world. You've become heavy laden, you're weighted down. Hear Jesus. Hear Him. As He says, come unto me. That is, don't stay where you are. Come unto me. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye, if you come and if you take my yoke, ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Twice, verse 29 and verse 30, He says, my yoke. What was the yoke of Christ? It is what He was submitted to. It is what dominated Him. Hear Him as He says in Luke 2, verse 49, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? That's His yoke. That's what controlled Him. John 4, verse 24, my meat is to do the will of the Father, Him that sent me. The will of God was His yoke. The glory of God was what mastered Him. Hear Him today. Come unto me. If you're lost, enslaved, you need to hear those words, come unto me. If you're saved and enslaved, you need to hear those words, come unto me. And listen to Him. He says, for my yoke is easy. Oh, it's so hard to serve God. Oh, it's just so hard. That's not what the Bible says. If it is so hard, you have a problem. You're not doing something right. My yoke is easy. That means it's not severe. It's not hurtful. It means it's pleasant. What is it to be under the yoke of Christ? Just a little tug, and we turn. You know what makes life hard? Just keep untugging. And we try to go the other way. We try to stay the status quo. You want a miserable life? That'll do it. You want a life of joy? Then you turn. Take my yoke upon you. It's easy. Life doesn't have to be difficult. Life doesn't have to be harsh. We need to learn that just the slightest tug and God has our attention. That's all it should take. And God has our attention. But today, it scares me to think what God would have to do to get some people's attention. Because they're so enslaved. So enslaved in the world. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Which is the opposite of what we read in verse 28. Ye that labor and are heavy laden. You're serving. There's a yoke around your neck. There's a harness on your shoulder. Something is pulling and controlling your life, controlling your moods, controlling your thought process. That's to be heavy laden. That's a life of misery. But you and I, as the sons and daughters of God, life is not to be oppressive, dreary, dry, dull, and barren. We are to live as more than conquerors. But we have to be wearing the right yoke. So I ask you today, examine your life. Are you imprisoned? And I suppose there's nothing sadder than an individual who's in prison doesn't realize it. Oh, if you're in prison today, realize it. Don't get mad at me. That won't get you out of prison. Come unto me, Jesus says. Come unto me. You get mad at the one who tells you're in prison, all you're doing is digging yourself deeper. Well, I show him. Not showing me anything. I'll show that preacher. I just won't come to church next Sunday. You know what you're showing him? That you're imprisoned. That you're imprisoned. Who are you hurting? I'll show him. I won't even open my Bible. I won't shake his hand. Is that going to get you out of prison? No. All it does is buy you more time. Buys you more time in jail. Oh, how sad. And we all get there. We all get in prisons. And we all have prisons of our own making. But all instead of hearing the clanking of the chains, all that we would hear the breaking of the chains. Instead of hearing those iron doors closing behind us, that we would hear the iron doors opening. And that we would go from the house of God. It's so sad to watch God's people leave the house of God, walking through the parking lot, dragging their ball and chain. But that's exactly what happens. It happens every Sunday to somebody. But all to go from here. I'm free! Free! Amen. Brother Larry.